This is the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're reading from the beginning of chapter 15. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jane, thank you very much for reading for us. We've just heard from God's word, so let's say a little prayer asking God to help us understand his word. Father God, thank you that you are a speaking God. Thank you for your word all about Jesus. Please help us now to listen, to pay attention, and to understand what you're saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, once again, good morning and a very, very happy Easter to one and all. And to begin with, I want to play a quick game of true or false. I thought it'd be quite simple to do that. So we know how it works, don't we? Hands up for true. Just practice that. Hands up for true. There we go. Some of us are still awake. Hands down for false. Okay. First question. The first UK chocolate Easter egg was produced in 1873. True or false? Hands up for true. Hands down for false. Okay, that was true. Okay. Number two, here we go. The average child in the UK receives 8.8 eggs each Easter. 8.8 eggs each Easter. Hands up for true. Keep your hands down for false. Okay, confident there, Henry. That is also true. There we go. Anyone had eight already? Anyone had 8.8 eggs? No. Okay, third one, last one. Last December, a Fabergé egg known as the winter egg sold for over $30 million. A Fabergé egg last December, true or false, over $30 million. There we go. That was also true. All three true. It is quite fun, isn't it? But those facts, they don't really change anything, do they? But there are some facts, some news, some truths that change everything. Now that letter from your top university telling you you've got in. Your parents letting you know you're going to be a big brother or a big sister. The girlfriend saying yes when you're down on one knee. There is some news that is so good it changes everything. And the one to top them all is Easter. Easter is the best happy ending ever. Not just for Jesus on Easter Sunday, but because his happily ever after can become your happily ever after. And it's true. You see, Easter is news from God, all about being friends with God forever and never having to fear death. Easter is the greatest news ever, and it changes everything. And to help us think through that, I've got an envelope here with part of a letter written 2,000 years ago. Here's the letter. And we had a bit of it read just earlier for us by Jane. It's written by a chap called Paul to some Christians in a city in Greece called Corinth. And he wants them to remember how good the good news is. Because good news, it's not advice, it is an announcement. An announcement that changes everything. So can you remember what Paul says? He says this: I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. And he says, I didn't make it up. No, he says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. So what good news does he pass on? Well, he says it is of first importance. It's the central, most important thing he wants them to know, and it comes in two parts. Here's the first part. He says, Easter is the greatest news ever because, as the Bible promised, Jesus Christ definitely died for our sins. Jesus Christ definitely died for our sins. Here's what he writes, verse 3, if you've got your Bibles open. Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried. So I've got here, where have I got? A cross. I have to say it's not to scale, don't worry. There we go. I've got a cross. And what does Paul say? The first thing he says, if that's going to stay up there, is that Jesus definitely died. The Romans, if we know, they were experts at killing people. So when Jesus was nailed to a cross and hung up to die, that is exactly what happened. It's not a myth or a legend. And Paul writes, Jesus was dead and buried, laid in a tomb. But what's amazing is this was a death promised hundreds of years before. Jesus didn't just show up out of nowhere. He was promised centuries in advance, you see, in accordance with the scriptures. So just to help us see how amazing that is, I've got a tape measure here. Here we go. Nate, you're going to come give me a hand. And I want us to imagine every centimetre on this tape measure is a year. So you've got to knock over Craig's trumpet. There we go. Okay, keep going. How far have we got so far, Nate? Wait. Okay, 220. We need to go a bit further. Oh, this is going to get dangerous. I didn't plan this beforehand. Here we go. Yeah, well done, Nate. Where are you up to? 560. You've got to keep going. Craig's getting nervous. There we go. There we go. Where are we up to? Oh, there we go. 700 years in advance. Nate, do you want to put it down there? 700 years. Thanks, Nate. You can grab a seat. 700 years in advance. A prophet called Isaiah drew the exact blueprint of what Jesus would do, and Jesus matched it perfectly. God didn't just react to what was happening. He planned it from the very beginning. So the thing is, Jesus didn't just die by accident. You see, he died on purpose. He died for his people. All those years before, 700 years before, Isaiah wrote these words about Jesus. We can see them on the screen. He was wounded for the wrong things we did. He was crushed for the evil things we did. The punishment which made us well was given to him. We are healed because of his wounds. We all have wandered away like sheep. Each of us has gone his own way. But the Lord has put on him the punishment for all the evil we have done. Did you hear that? He was punished for all the wrong things we did. Not his own, ours. So it's a little like this receipt. Where is it in here? Here we go. This receipt lists all the wrong things I've ever said, done, even the wrong things that I've thought. And at the top of this list is the fact that I've put myself first and not God. The Bible, it calls this sin. It deserves God's judgment. So actually, if this is a list of everything I've done wrong, well, it'd be quite a long list. Let's see how. There we go. That's still going quite a way. Quite a way. I didn't measure how long this one was earlier. All the things I've said, done, and thought, putting myself first. But do you know what the Bible says happened at the cross that first Easter? Can you read that for me? What does that say? hey, there we go. Let's see if this still has enough ink in it. At the cross, Jesus paid for all of my sin. He took the punishment that should be mine so I can be forgiven and go free. Can you see, if you've got your Bibles open, verse 3, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He took my place on the cross so I might be forgiven. It means we can be friends with God. But that's not all. How can I know the debt has been paid? Well, let me ask us one more true or false question. Don't just put your hands up for this one. Here's a true or false question. About 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus Christ died on the cross, but then came back to life, proving he can forgive our sins and give us eternal life. We've been seeing, haven't we, how Easter is the best news ever that changes everything. And we've looked at the first part already, that Jesus Christ definitely died for our sins. But here's part two. Easter is the greatest news ever because, as the Bible promised, Jesus Christ really rose and was seen. Can you remember how the letter carries on? You can look down to verse 4. Jesus was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. So perhaps can you remember from that first reading we had earlier what they found when they went to the tomb on that very first Easter Sunday? What was it they found? Anyone remember? Yes? An empty tomb. That's right, there was nobody. And what they found was just the grave clothes. Now, there have been some budget cuts, I'm afraid, so this is the best I could come up with. There, I think, is some kitchen roll in a Tupperware, a kind of CSI investigation evidence. That is all they could find in the tomb, just the grave clothes. And what it reminds us is that Jesus was really risen. He really rose from the dead. You see, Jesus rising from the dead, it shows us death has been defeated. He's conquered death. But can we be confident? Because when you think about it, a miracle like Jesus rising from the dead, it is a one-off thing. It doesn't happen again. But it was witnessed. Again, just listen to how the letter carries on. You can see in verse 4, Jesus was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. That means they've died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Did we get that? At least four times, Jesus appeared literally, physically, bodily, after he had risen from the dead. So if one person told you they'd saw someone come back from the dead, well, you'd think they were crazy. Alex, happy to stand up for me? You can be one person. There we go. If one person says, you might think, maybe he just had something strange for breakfast. I'm not sure if you believe him. If 12 people, and maybe that entire second row, could you all stand up for me? There are about 12, if you can. There we go. Maybe some of the front row, Goran family as well. There we go. If 12 people stood up, well, you might be a bit suspicious, maybe, but, you know, there's a bit of corroboration there. But the Bible says, you see, Jesus appeared to over 500 people at once. So, in fact, could everyone in the building stand up? Everyone stand up. Stay standing for a moment. And just imagine every single person standing right now looking at Jesus alive. Well, that's not a secret, is it? Now, that is hard evidence. Thank you very much for being a great prop. Do sit down. Just think about it. A photo can be edited. A video might be a deep fake. But eyewitness testimony, it's convincing, isn't it? All those people seeing Jesus, we simply can't explain it away. It's not possible. The only conclusion is Jesus really did rise from the dead. On Good Friday, Jesus' followers were terrified. They were scared and hiding. But after Easter Sunday, they were out on the streets boldly speaking about Jesus, even willing to die for him. And what changed? He appeared. But what does this mean for us 2,000 years later? Well, if you've got a Bible open, can you see a little bit later in this letter what the writer says? Down in verse 20, he talks about Jesus being the first fruits, a strange word. What he means is where Jesus goes, his people follow. Jesus rising from the dead was like the first installment. It's a guarantee of everything sad coming untrue for his people. You see, right at the end of this chapter, we're told once again, death has been definitively defeated. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For grown-ups, knowing the 6:05 to London Bridge is running 5 minutes late, it doesn't really change much, does it? Knowing you've just inherited £10 million, well, that might change a bit more. But Jesus' death and resurrection, it's not just one more fact alongside all the others in your brain. No, the death of Jesus, his resurrection, it is of supreme importance. It is a transforming truth. If Jesus really rose, it means he is alive today and ruling in power. Verse 25 tells us that. It means everything we do matters. It means one day Jesus will come back as judge of all. It means death is not the end. So as we close, what should we do? How can this good news be good news for me and for you? Well, news, it's not something we achieve, is it? No, Paul says we receive the good news and we believe it. We receive it and we believe it. It's not just enough to know it's true. We need to act on it. And now you don't need to understand everything to act. You just need to know enough, don't you? You don't need to know how fire works to know that if you're in a burning house, you get out of it. You don't need to know the exact ingredients of chocolate to know that chocolate tastes delicious. So I haven't got a chocolate Easter egg. I've got something. It was weightier than an Easter egg. There we go. This was the biggest one I could find. And right now, this is mine. I haven't had any chocolate yet today, so I'm going to maybe hold on to that. But actually, I'm going to offer it to Andy. You're looking quite hungry. I'm going to offer it completely free. It is a gift. But just looking at this doesn't make it yours. Just believing in it doesn't put it in your pocket. No, you have to receive it. Would you like to receive it, Andy?
Yes.
You can receive it. There we go. It's yours. You can actually have it. That's a little bit like trusting in Jesus. Not just knowing about him, but receiving him as your saviour and king. That's what Christ means. The good news of Easter is the same. It's a free gift, the best gift ever. Forgiveness and eternal life. Friendship with God forever and never having to fear death. But we do need to receive it. No one is too bad to receive it. Paul, who wrote this letter, he was the worst of the worst. But he received the good news. And believing this good news, well, it changes everything about who we are. We receive forgiveness and we start to live with Jesus as the boss of our lives. You see, Jesus definitely died and he really rose. But Easter isn't just true, it is wonderful. Simply put, it is the best news ever. Will we receive it? Will we be transformed by it? I'm going to say a short prayer now. And if you want, you might want to pray this prayer in your hearts too. I've put it up on the screen. So if we want to, we can pray along in our own hearts. Father God, thank you for the good news of Easter. Thank you that Jesus definitely died so we can be forgiven. And he really rose so death is defeated. Please help me to receive this good news by believing it and trusting Jesus. Help me turn from living for myself to living for Jesus as my King. We ask it in his name. Amen.